Broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Under the beautiful clear skies with the winds out of the northeast just 15 miles per hour. It's a beautiful day, but all of Hawaii's golf courses are closed. All of the courses in the UK are closed. Bandon Dunes in the middle of nowhere is closed except for maintenance and growing in Sheep Ranch, its newest. In the United States, more than half of the golf courses are closed. And the casualties? Thousands of PGA professionals, LPGA professionals, golf course superintendents, association members, employees of PGA of America sections, players on developmental tours, Association of Golf merchandise members, just to name a few. Caddies, front office, retail, wholesale workers, instructors and players, golf course maintenance and management. PGA of America is doing something to help. They're stepping up. And PGA of America President Susie Whaley is joining us after this.
The Golf Club is brought to you by Oahu Extraction. When it floods, water, or worse, sewer pipes break, or mud inundates your home, call Oahu Extraction 24/7. Oahu Extraction, on site in 90 minutes, high-rise shopping center or home. Oahu Extraction. Raynor Doors, the overhead door used to protect the Lamborghini showroom, provide lasting security and safety for your business, your home. Raynor Doors, increase the value of your home with a major return on your investment. Call Raynor Doors, 676-3667. And now, here's Danielle Tucker.
And now, Susie Whaley, president of PGA of America, first woman elected to serve as an officer of the PGA of America, PGA president, PGA master professional. She's a dual member of PGA of America and the LPGA Teaching and Club Professional Division. Golf Digest, top 50 instructor, golf's top 100. Metropolitan Golf Association, Distinguished Service Award recipient for 2019. Whaley played two seasons on the LPGA, and she earned a spot in the Greater Hartford Open when she qualified for the Men's PGA Tour when she won the PGA Connecticut Season Championship in 2003. Welcome into the clubhouse, Susie Whaley.
Aloha, Danielle. How are you this morning?
Very good.
Where are you? Where it is this morning?
It's absolutely gorgeous this morning. Of course, everything is closed here. Even the beaches are off limits. So we'll just have to welcome you when we're back open for business, and we'd love to have you. I remember when you were over here for one of our association meetings. It was wonderful. I first heard you speak at the Hawaii Golf Conference, and you did the two Golf Ready seminars.
Yes.
Yeah, it's been a while. I missed you. I'd love to see you. But what I'm really, really impressed with is what the PGA of America has created, the Golf Emergency Fund, providing short-term financial assistance to golf industry workers. And what you have done, your board has done, putting together the fund, taking a cut in pay. Wow. What a decision you've made. Thank you so much.
Oh, that's very nice. I mean, I first and foremost, all your listeners, I wish them well and hope everybody's staying safe and healthy. You know, we at the PGA of America, you know, we love the game. All of us who are involved in the game love the game, and certainly all of us chose it to pass it on to others and to ensure those that were coming to our facilities could have what my friend Lance Takata calls the aloha spirit, right, where we give back more to others than we receive. And that's typically a PGA professional's heart. And we do about $4 billion a year in charitable events at our facilities around the country each year to raise money for local charities. And now our professionals and, as you mentioned, the golf course superintendents, you know, the mini tour players, people who work for the USGA, people for the NGCOA, and people within the industry now need the public's help to make sure we all get to the other side of this. And we will. We're going to reopen, but we need to do it safely and securely for the good of all that work at those facilities and all that play the game. But we're in a real critical stage for many of our professionals and industry leaders across the country, and it was something our board and executives felt very strongly about doing. We opened the Gulf Emergency Relief Fund Thursday at 2 p.m. And as anticipated, we were truly overwhelmed by the need, and we know we need to continue to fundraise to make sure we can help everybody as we move forward.
Yeah, when I went to the site yesterday, it says, due to overwhelming response, registration for phase one of the Gulf Emergency Relief Fund is currently closed. As a reminder, applications are received on a first-come, first-served basis. And please note that it relates to the first-come, first-served nature of the grant approvals, the time of registration, not the time of application submission. So if you registered and got your application, you hadn't had a chance to fill it in completely. It doesn't mean that you can't complete that application. You need to complete that application because you applied for the application. Now you need to submit it, and you have to do that by Wednesday, April 22nd, to complete it and submit it by 4 p.m. Eastern time. So it's not over for you if you've already been in the phase one. And that's a $5 million pledge directly to the members, the first money coming from the pockets of the executive team who made took voluntary pay cuts. When you were together with the board, how did this conversation start?
Yeah, and we had just gone through our budget process prior to COVID really hitting the United States and then approved a very extensive budget to offer resources to our 41 sections across the country and to deliver opportunities for our PGA members, and we realized very quickly that we needed to revamp what we had started, in fact, shred it, because, you know, we're in a very different and challenging time. I don't think that any of us could have anticipated. So we went back through the budget and dredged through budget and made some budget cuts, one of which the executives have made a donation from their compensation to this relief fund. Our board of directors has made personal donations, inclusive of the three officers. Have made donations. We're reaching out to the allied associations to make sure that we let them know what this fund is for and how it can help the industry at large. And we've been successful with some of those. We have a $2.5 million matching program set up for donations that come in for this relief fund. And, you know, for us, we took some of our reserve funds for the relief fund. So it came from a multitude of places so we could get this up and going as quickly as possible for as many as possible in phase one. Phase two will begin soon, and that will be the opportunity for those in the industry that are eligible for up to a $3,500 grant. It's a little more extensive process to apply, but certainly we want those who are in need to apply. That is what it will be for, and that's what we continue to raise money for around this relief effort. Our CEO was on CNBC yesterday discussing this, and we've reached out to, as I said, the allies. We've had some interest from top tour players in how they can help us. And, you know, the public, certainly, it's a hard time to ask people to donate. There's so many causes out there that are struggling. But, you know, we feel it's really important, whether it's a dollar or whatever people can manage. And if you can't manage, then certainly we understand that. But for those that can manage, it's relief.golf. Very simple to donate if you have the ability to do so. Just keep in mind the golf you love. There are, you know, we have thousands of employees that have been impacted over the whole country, and certainly it's hitting you at home there with all your courses closed, and these people have families and they have lives, and we're just trying desperately to help them.
Yeah, exactly. It's hitting home, because when I read what you were doing, I thought, my goodness, my friends have a chance to get a relief package from the PGA of America. And Susie Whaley, president of PGA of America, is talking with us now, who also made a donation through her own pocketbook towards this fund, the Gulf Emergency Fund. The PGA of America has created a Gulf Emergency Relief Fund, providing short-term financial assistance to certain workers. And I've got to tell you, I'm
level has been shut down because there's really no way or avenue for them to do that. Caddies, of course, are a huge part of what we love about the game, which is walking at many facilities. It's healthy and it's well. And we just have so many tentacles to our game. It's so far reaching and who's a part of it and who works within it. And our goal was to get as many of those people in the industry, as I said earlier, to the other side of this. And it's not it hasn't come without challenges for so many people, including those who love to play. And I'm at a facility in Florida that's closed. I'm fortunate that I'm still working because we're patrolling the golf course daily. We allow the membership to walk and at least get some exercise. But, you know, in South Florida, the state of Florida is open for golf, but in South Florida, we are completely shut down by our, you know, governance process and the public health guidelines. And so I'm living it in real time, where I see what's happening in South Florida to the membership here. I see what's happening to those who work on our golf courses that are within the game that, as you mentioned, are caddies. And the fiscal package the government has put forth is tremendous, and so grateful and appreciative of that. But we wanted to do more for those that were in need, and we want to ensure that golf comes back stronger than ever, that when people can come back out of their homes, they look to golf as that healthy avenue to do that. We have these wide open, spectacularly beautiful spaces, and we want our PGA professionals and those that work in the game to be ready when people are ready to come out and it's safe to do so. And in that aloha spirit, as I said before, is something we take very seriously, and we believe kindness is at the forefront, health and safety is at the forefront, and the opportunities for all of our members will come through that, and we'll be stronger for it, and the game will be stronger for it.
Excellent. This is all being managed by E4E Relief, a leading provider of charitable employee relief funds. So they're handling all of the funds being distributed. PGA of America has created the Golf Emergency Relief Fund. The first phase opened up for applications and immediately overwhelmed in a way, but then closed, of course, after they took as many applications as they could. The next phase, the second phase, will be a rollout after, you know, of course, in the near future. You said it's a longer application process to distribute larger funds. Can you just tell us a little bit about that in closing?
Yeah, sure. The second phase is going to be at the completion of phase one, which we'll hopefully have that completed as soon as all the application process that was started are finished, as you mentioned earlier. And those are being reviewed, as you mentioned, by a third party, E4E. The next phase of this grant process, you know, we just want to ensure that, again, people are able to get a grant that they need. And so the second phase will also go through E4E. It will take just a longer period of time to get those funds, about 6 to 8 weeks after submission and approval and materials. When I say the application process is more in-depth, there's just a few more questions that the applicant would answer as far as their situation is concerned. And again, they would submit that right online through E4E. And we're looking forward to having some more time to raise more money. We need to raise a lot more money as we saw this need come in so quickly in phase one. So that's what our priority is for our members. We're not taking our eye off the ball, though, for golf and you know, what we're hoping to have happen throughout the country as this horrible disease hopefully gets under control. And, you know, we have a lot to do to make that happen, but this is a priority for us, this fund, and ensuring that we get these monies that are desperately needed to the people that need them.
Yeah.
So again, I urge anybody who loves golf and who has the ability just to go to relief.golf, realize that it is going to the people who love to have you at their facilities, who are passionate about the game and want to give you the experience that you've always cherished.
Excellent. So for donations to the fund, I go to relief.golf, and to apply further assistance, I also go to relief.golf.
Exactly right.
Great. Great. And we can't wait. We're really looking forward to the PGA Championship at TPC Harding Park. It's going to be August 6th through the 7th, 6th through the 9th. And I'm so glad that it wasn't canceled. It was only postponed. Harding Park is such a beautiful course in San Francisco. And the PGA Championship will be wonderful that time of year. Thank you so much for your time, Susie Whaley.
Stay safe, stay strong, stay healthy, everyone. Thanks so much for all you do, Danielle, for golf.
Thank you. Susie Whaley, president of PGA of America, first woman elected to serve as an officer of the PGA of America and PGA president. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
In response to the mayor's COVID-19 stay-at-home order that now includes golf courses, Bayview Golf Course is taking this time to make Bayview Golf Course even better. We're aerating the course, cleansing our new Top Tracer double-deck driving range, and getting ready for your return to the beauty and splendor of Bayview Golf Course, located on Kaneohe Bay Drive. You'll come back with Bayview Golf Course in even better condition. Until then, the best of health to you, your family, and friends. Bayview Golf Course, we're all in this together.
And we certainly are. And Oahu Extraction is COVID-19 ready. When it floods, water, or worse, call Oahu Extraction. It doesn't necessarily have to be flooding into your home when it's raining. It can happen when a water pipe breaks in the home, outside the home, above the home. So you get in touch with Oahu Extraction. They are ready to protect you from them. They've got all the necessary suits on. So when they come into your home, they won't bring in with them coronavirus. That water may have trickled in, causing mold. Heavy rain comes in through many different ways. And you give Oahu Extraction a call. They have the hydrometer, can see within the walls, see if there's something growing there, and you can take care of it.
We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment.
Power outages can hit without warning. Keep the lights on with a Honda generator from Aloha Power Equipment. You'll never be left in the dark with Honda's lightweight, easy-starting, super-quiet generators. Put the power of a Honda generator to work for you.
We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment.
This portion of The Golf Club is brought to you by Creative Plumbing. When your building's hot water system needs new life or a new high-rise system, new build or renovation, call Creative Plumbing because it has to be done right. Futuristone's master craftsmen can turn your townhouse complex driveway and sideway into beautiful self-draining areas, adding to the value of your project. Turn your concrete floors into colorful masterpieces with Futuristone. And now, here's Danielle Tucker.
Later on in the show, we're going to give away Bayview a Golf Course $50 gift certificate so that when they reopen, of course, they're closed and making the golf course beautiful, even more beautiful than it already has been. They've really done tremendous work with the greens and the fairways. Looks gorgeous and beautiful, Kaneohe, Hawaii's best value in golf with a double-deck driving range, Top Tracer at each station, no extra cost. Open when they can, of course, and we'll find out if they're going to have to extend after April 30th. We're all, of course, anxious to be able to get back to some sense of normalcy, but we'll just have to wait and see. It all depends on whether it's safe for everyone to get out together. We'll all have to continue to, of course, keep our masks on, use the social distancing, being very mindful of what we're doing. And today, when you're going shopping, remember, it's just one person per family if you're heading out the door to go get provisions. So we're going to bring in Ron Syracknall, Golf Channel contributor and PGA of America Lifetime Achievement and Journalism Award recipient, LPGA correspondent and author of Vision 54 Trilogy, Play Your Best Golf Now, The Game Before the Game, and Every Shot Must Have a Purpose, published, by the way, in 8 languages. In the world, old world, you know, the old world before COVID-19, we'd be playing the final round of the LPGA Championship, the Lotte LPGA, Lotte Championship here in Hawaii. I would be at Ko'olina looking forward to the We Love Ping Pong fundraiser. It would be Saturday night at the Hawaii, wherever they were holding it, and it Yeah, Hawaii State Junior Golf Association fundraiser. Michelle Wee would be there, but we're in that world, that in-between world before the new coronavirus vaccine time frame, hoping to get through with as few casualties as possible. We're trying to get to that post-vaccine world as soon as possible. So in the meantime, the LPGA and PGA Tour have created a schedule for us to live with and live by for their tournaments coming up, both of them starting off in June, both on the 11th. To talk about that and a whole lot more, including the latest inductee into the World Golf Hall of Fame, Ron Cyrak. Welcome into the clubhouse.
Danielle, thanks for having me on. Always a pleasure.
Excellent. I was reading your article, World Golf Hall of Fame selected Marion Hollins, American golf pioneer, to be inducted when Tiger Woods is inducted into the Hall of Fame. It's a great piece that you wrote.
Yeah, you know, she's one of those people who sort of got lost in the dustbin of history back there. You know, we tend sometimes to forget those people who did their accomplishments before the media age really exploded. She won the 1921 U.S. Women's Amateur, but her real contribution is as a developer. She was involved in developing the Monterey Peninsula in California and Cypress Point. Alistair McKenzie gives her credit for the iconic 16th hole there. She was involved in the development of Paso Tiempo Golf Course in California, and the impact that she had both as a player and as a businesswoman were really well ahead of their time.
Yeah, I was reading this. Okay, I'm going to have to read this because Ron Cyrak really has a way with words. Quoting him now from the article, one of the problems with history is that it gets old in a hurry. Often the present must be reminded it stands on the shoulders of the past. And among those giants lost in the haze of time is Marion Hollins, emerging now as an apparition from an analog era to whisper into a digital ear that golf existed before Tiger Woods and greatness was not always carried by a TV signal or a computer screen. That Hollins, a pioneer as a player and developer, will enter the World Golf Hall of Fame in 2021 along with Woods is fitting. Why?
Well, you know, I mean, Tiger represents the new era of golf. You know, I mean, part of the role that I see that I play in the game right now, being an old guy, is to remind people that Tiger Woods didn't invent golf and ESPN didn't invent sports. both existed well before that, and that we have to remember and we have to honor achievements that happened in that bygone era. And you have in Marion Hollins somebody who represents the early days of golf, the beginning of the buildings of that game in the United States. And in Tiger Woods, you have somebody who represents the new era of the game, somebody who really took it into the computer age and took it into the globalization age. The fact that both of them are going into together is very fitting in that way.
Yeah, and you wrote, Hollins battered down barriers decades before the 13 founders created the LPGA. She set the path for Babe Zaharias, Mickey Wright, Kathy Whitworth, Annika Sorenstam, and others, unleashing a drive-on spirit when few women were allowed behind the wheel. That's what I love about your work.
Yeah, 30 years before the LPGA was founded, she was out doing that.
Yeah.
Really, 30 years before there was such a thing as women professional golfers, she was out paving the way.
Yeah, and I love her clothes. really, the photo, LPGA.com, is where you can find the article. It's there. Just go to Ron Cyrak. I think there's a whole page dedicated to the work that he does. And with all of that said, I was really impressed in your piece about the work she did at Cypress Point, at Pebble Beach, at Paso Tiempo. You know, when women weren't a part of the game of golf, and certainly not architects.
You know, Alistair McKenzie, who is the designer of probably maybe the most iconic golf course in America, Augusta National, where last week I should have been at my 31st Masters, but wasn't. But Alistair McKenzie gives her enormous credit for Cypress Point, one of the great golf courses out there, and consulted her frequently while he was building Augusta National, and relied heavily on her input. And when he was questioned about that by the powers that be at Augusta, he said, "There's nobody whose input I value more than Marion Hollins."
You know, you wonder where she was inspired. Who inspired Marion?
Well, she grew up on Long Island and outside New York City. Her father was a Wall Street tycoon, and Long Island is home to some of the original iconic golf courses. C.B. McDonald designs at the National Golf Links of Long Island, Shinnecock, which are so some of the she comes from. Really, what you can trace to the earliest beginnings of the roots of golf in the United States, which is in that Long Island area.
Yeah, I got it. Beautiful. So while they're having fun, I mean, the LPGA players, we're talking about a fundraiser with Susie Whaley, the PGA of America, doing. LPGA players are holding fundraisers, too, including virtual they're doing an all-in poker tournament. Michelle Wee West, Danielle Kang, Lydia Ko, Cheyenne Woods, Gabby Lopez, among many others. Christina Kim is out donating platelets. Then there's the virtual putting tournament. These girls they rock. I mean, they are so cool, the way they get involved in society, with the needs of society. While they're playing, you know, they're not resting on their laurels. They're involved full steam ahead. And going into full steam ahead, we have the LPGA Tour, the Major LPGA Classic for Simply Give, starting up the new season, continuing the season, on June 11th, and this is going to be in Michigan. But when we hear about these, like, Mike Wann, commissioner, did say that depends also on how things are going in the community they're going into at that time. Did he not?
Yeah, you know, Mike Wann has to be given an enormous amount of credit for being somebody who's been out in front of all of this. And part of it's the nature of his tour. I mean, they bill themselves as golf's global tour, and they truly are. But the LPGA was the first major sports organization to start canceling events. They played two tournaments in Florida, and they played two tournaments in Australia. Then they were supposed to go China, Thailand, Singapore. And on January 30th, they canceled the China tournament because COVID was starting to emerge in China. On February 2nd, they canceled Thailand and Singapore. And then on March 12th, they started canceling events in the United States. So they were really out in front of all the organizations. And from the very beginning, Commissioner Wann has put the health and safety, not just of his players and not just the LPGA community, but of the fans and of everybody else. You know, when they talk about bringing golf back and they say it's the easiest sport to bring back because social distancing is built into the sport, the players don't have to be near each other. There's way more than just the players involved in staging a golf tournament. Mm-hmm. There are TV crews. There are the maintenance crews at the golf course. There are scorers and rules officials and food service people and all these people who were needed to do it. And Commissioner Wann's not going to bring the tour back until he's sure that the safety of everybody is going to be guaranteed.
Yeah.
Both he and the PGA Tour are shooting for that middle of June. I think by beginning of May, we're going to have a better idea. Here's another thing that Commissioner Wann's dealing with right now. About a third of the LPGA lives outside the United States. He's going to have to give them enough notice to get back into the United States, and if they have to quarantine for 14 days, to do that. So he's going to have to give them, you know, 3 or 4 weeks notice to begin to get back here. And unless all those pieces are in play, he's not going to start the season.
Exactly. And because he has got to give them all the time. And then what if on June 11th they say, well, you know what, it turns out – you know, it's everybody's got to be all in regardless of what the outcome is, whether we get to go or not go. And certainly there will be disappointments, and it's an expensive undertaking for a lot of these players who haven't had any income, who aren't in the top 100 with a cushion, a savings account to fund themselves with. It's a tough one. You spoke about that earlier this year, about a lot of the, you know, the kids that would have been in some of the tournaments while the top 100 are taking a break. They didn't get a chance to make any money so far this season.
You know, one of the mantras that Juan uses all the time with his players is act like a founder. And by that, what he means is take ownership of this tour. This tour is what you make it to be. And we're really seeing right now through this crisis, the players stand up to that. You listed all the things that they're doing right now. Virtually every day, one of the LPGA players is engaged on the LPGA website in some sort of social media exchange with fans, whether it's a chat room or a video or something in some way. They are doing something every day to let the fans know they're still there, and the players are also reaching out to the sponsors and doing stuff on social media where they're thanking the sponsors for hanging in there. And they are really working to get the tour through this. Now, thankfully, if this had happened 10 years ago, when the LPGA in the 2010-2011 seasons were really crushed by the Great Recession and they were down to 23 tournaments, I'm not sure the tour makes it through this. But Juan's brought them back to 34 tournaments. He just negotiated a TV deal that goes into effect in 2022 that's going to give them more exposure and more revenue. Financially, the tour is in a much, much, much better place to endure this and survive this than they would have been certainly 10 years ago, maybe even 5 years ago. So all that hard work Juan's done in bringing the tour back is really going to help them get through this and be ready to emerge from this this halt and play stronger than ever.
Yeah. They did have another cancellation on the LPGA schedule. Unfortunately, the senior LPGA championship had to be not even postponed or rescheduled. It's going to just canceled for this year, coming back next year. What was completely taken off the schedule on the PGA Tour, and I was disappointed because I love Greenbrier. I think it's so beautiful, but it is no longer hosting a PGA Tour event. This year, the military tribute is off. I enjoyed that whole event was beautiful, and where it was held was fantastic. But it's gone through several rough times with the flooding that they were just coming back from, and now this.
You know, Danielle, one ray of sunshine in all this is if everything goes as planned, and if the PGA Tour and the LPGA schedules get going the way that they hope to, and really even if we get going by July 1st. From August 1st of this year to August 1st of next year, we're going to have 17 major championships, 10 on the LPGA and 7 on the PGA Tour. So that's a bright way of looking at it.
Yes.
You know, usually we have, on the men's side, we have to go from, well, it used to be the PGA used to be in August, and now it's in May. So the last major of the year on the men's side is the British Open, which is the middle of July, third week of July. And then we got to wait to the following April for the Masters.
Yep.
Now the Masters is going to be in November. And then, boom, April, we're back with the next major. So we're going to have, if everything goes as planned, 17 majors in 12 months.
We're going to have a whole bunch of fun. Okay, PGA Tour schedule. June 11th, Charles Schwab Challenge. So it's the same date as the LPGA. PGA Tour cooking it up. Charles Schwab Challenge in Fort Worth, Texas. The RBC Canadian Open's canceled. And then to Harbortown for RBC Heritage. Then Travelers Championship in Connecticut. Rocket Mortgage in Detroit. John Deere in Illinois. The Memorial's happening, the 3M Open, the WGC St. Jude, all of this, of course, the first four tournaments, no fans. Only in the situation, of course, that's stable, just like the LPGA, because the volunteers are from the community, and they have to be safe. So, based on what we know of a schedule that could happen, Tiger Woods' possible 2020 schedule, do you think he'll start June Charles Schwab Cup Challenge, Colonial Country Club, Fort Worth, Texas?
Well, you know, he's never done particularly well on that golf course. I mean, you know
it well
early
too.
On Harbortown and Colonial are two golf courses that Tiger has played, didn't do well, and one of the things that's been consistent about Tiger's career, he goes back to the golf courses where he wins, and he doesn't go back to the golf courses where he doesn't win.
Yes.
So I don't know, but here's the problem. We don't have any majors. Let's see, the first major is going to be the PGA the first week of August.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got to play. He's got to play before then. He's got to play somewhere before then.
Well,
so,
maybe the Memorial.
He's done well. He's done well at the Memorial. You know, he likes that. He likes Muirfield Village, and so you know that's a place where you can expect him.
Yeah, yeah. Just curious. I'm sure he'll be at PGA Championship. I thought maybe because he was feeling so, he was talking about how he noticed that even though he wasn't trying to, his body is in such rhythm, he felt himself starting to peak for the Masters. Even though the Masters wasn't going to be held, you know, he was like, oh, what's going on here? I'm feeling myself getting in, and that would be, the June would be around the same time the U.S. Open would normally be held, right? So I was thinking, well, maybe he'd want to take advantage of that sense of peaking for something like the Charles Schwab Challenge. So as you said, you know, after everything, we get the PGA Championship in August, and then we go straight into the FedEx Cup with the U.S. Open squeezed in there, the Ryder Cup. So September 17th to the 20th is the U.S. Open. September 25th to the 27th is the Ryder Cup. And then we get the Masters in November. You're going, right, to the Masters?
Yes, I'm definitely going to go. Believe me, if there's any organization, any entity that can pull off a tournament in a first class way any time of the year, it's Augusta National. I'm going to be fascinated to see what that golf course is going to look like in November as opposed to April. We know none of those flowers are going to be there. There'll be no azaleas and magnolias and dogwoods in bloom. And the course will probably see something we never see there, which is brown grass. if there's anybody who agronomy wise or anything else can make the golf course play in an exciting first class way, it's Augusta National. They have that sub air drying system under the greens. They can make the greens whatever speed they want any time of the year. And I imagine that they're going to get the rest of the golf course to be in really first-class condition at that time of the year, or they wouldn't be doing it.
Yeah, don't they have underneath the Masters, there's like a forest of trees that they can just pluck one up and shoot it up to the top?
that's pretty much exactly it. You know, I mean, what people don't know about that golf course, a lot of people don't know, is that it's closed for 6 months of the year. It closes in the middle of May to the middle of October. When they reopen it in the middle of October, I sort of thought that's when they would move the Masters to, but they probably don't want the Masters to interfere with their opening Members Week tournament.
So
they gave that priority, but what they really want is a month to get the golf course to be exactly the way they want it to be.
Yeah, well, you know, apparently a lot of hotels in Augusta thought October was they were canceling people's reservations and upping the price. They got it wrong. Ron Cyrek, thank you so much. Golf Channel contributor, PGA of America Lifetime Achievement and Journalism Award recipient, and special to the LPGA. Thanks so much for being on the show today.
Thank you so much, Danielle. Aloha.
Aloha. We're going to come back. We're going to talk a little about the mental, not just the mental game for golf, but just, you know, the mental side of this COVID-19, this coronavirus. You know, after all, it is the virus that you get that becomes the disease COVID-19, just to straighten that little point out. So we're all trying to keep clean and clear of the virus because we don't want to get COVID-19. David McKenzie is a mental game coach, golfstateofmind.com. He's been on the show for 10 years. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I can't say how long I've been doing the show. 22 years, right? No. I started just out of elementary school doing the show. But we're going to be talking to him about how to relax in times of stress on and off the course. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment.
Power outages can hit without warning. Keep the lights on with a Honda generator from Aloha Power Equipment. You'll never be left in the dark with Honda's lightweight, easy-starting, super-quiet generators. Put the power of a Honda generator to work for you.
Power at your fingertips. Aloha, our equipment.
Bayview Golf Course, Bayview in beautiful Kaneohe, really gorgeous view of the bay. When they reopen, you've got to go. The back nine is amazing. Hawaii's best value in golf, double-deck driving range to boot with the top tracer at each station. It's open when they can reopen. That's going to be the question, of course. Everybody is wondering. We're going to have to see how we're faring by the end of April. But, you know, they're taking this time right now to just spruce up everything again. They're doing more maintenance to the golf course. They're cleaning up the just everywhere that they can for this month where they've been closed, just doing what they can. And they're going to come back even more beautiful than before. And for you to enjoy Bayview when they reopen, we have a $50 gift certificate for the ninth caller, 808-545-1111. Yeah, that's it, 545-1111. That's the number to call, and the ninth caller gets it. So let your fingers do the walking and win yourself a $50 gift certificate to Bayview. All right, now let's bring him in. David McKenzie, mental game coach, golf state of mind, got his MA from the University of St. Andrews in Scotland. In the meantime, for many, many years, he's been working on our golf state of mind so that when you're on the golf course, you can maybe relax a little bit, you know, de-stress yourself out. It's supposed to be a fun game. Welcome into the clubhouse, David.
Hi, Danielle. How are you?
Excellent. All things considered.
Yes.
Yes, right? I loved what you said about using this temporary setback as an opportunity to learn skills that are going to help us succeed when the golf season starts up again.
Right, indeed. Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt about it. This is a horrible situation. But there's, as you guys have been talking about with Ron there, you know, there's a lot of opportunity within that. And that's the only way that we can really look at that, as tough as it is for all of us. Our lives have been changed, you know, in more ways than one. But we've got to think about how we can grow, and through challenges, we grow. So perspective is a big part of that. You know, are we going to look at this as like how unfortunate it is? Or are we going to look at this as, okay, well, this is another setback that we have to overcome in order to be successful in life and in golf? I mean, golf mirrors life in so many ways. And I think that's why we love it so much. You know, you have to be able to overcome challenges and, you know, be able to be resilient in times of adversity. And that is one of them. So, you know, we've got to get creative. We've got to use this time effectively. We want to be able to look back at this time, you know, because it's going to be one of those times that stands out in history, and think, you know, when it's all over, you know, how did I deal with that challenge? And, you know, did I use that time to learn new skills and to become a better person?
So the seven relaxation tips. Okay, I think it's interesting that number one is breathing. And all of this, by the way, is available on audio and ebook. It's a 7-module mental game training program, and you'll have these 7 relaxation tips, how to relax in times of stress on and off the golf course. You just go to golfstateofmind.com if you want to do that and follow along. So tell us about the importance of breathing other than staying alive.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds really obvious, but all of us have got, you know, higher levels of anxiety right now, and, you know, we've got to make sure that we're aware of how we feel, how we're feeling. And that's a big part of being able to control, you know, have self-control on the golf course, is just noticing how you're feeling, noticing what you're choosing to focus on. So most of the students that I work with are practicing meditation, mindfulness, practicing their breath work, you know, so that that breath work becomes easy for them, you know, when they're in times of stress. If you're out on the golf course and you're noticing that performance anxiety building up. So there's different types of breathing techniques for different situations. And there's no one, you know, one way to do it for every person. We're all slightly different in our physiology and our sort of baseline anxiety level. So I would experiment with different breathing techniques, but diaphragmatic breathing. So I usually combine that with my meditation. It's just noticing the breath, making sure that you can really feel your belly go out, your diaphragm. Working there to fill your lungs, having a consistent rhythm to it is really important too. So whatever sort of breathing protocol, which is called, is, you know, the inhale to the hold, exhale, hold ratio. You know, making that consistent. You know, so you can go to that place when you're on the golf course, when you're feeling stressed. But breathing, any sort of neuroscientist or anxiety expert is going to tell you that breathing is your best stress management tool. So setting aside some time each day, as I said, I do my meditation, to just work on the breath, and you can kind of just lower your anxiety levels, clear the mind, and make better choices.
Now, through the nose, I read in your article, you get more oxygen. Oxygen feeds the brain, settles it down. You need to sit up straight and have your belly breathing going on. But I love this, whether it's 4 seconds, 3 seconds, 5 seconds. 5 seconds of inhale, 4 seconds of hold, 4 seconds of exhale, 4 seconds of hold, and then you repeat that. And already you start feeling, just now, I start feeling calmer, less anxious. Not so worried about if I'm asking the right questions. But it's true. And now, you were talking about how you use the breathing in your meditation and mindfulness. Meditation and mindfulness, you know, we hear meditation, but tell us the difference, or what is mindfulness?
Yeah, well, essentially, meditation is training for better mindfulness. I mean, meditation is training your attention, you know, to notice, have better awareness of where your focus is. So you're meditating, you're focusing on what's called your anchor, which is typically your breathing, or it could be a mantra. But you're doing that over a period of time, and you're just trying to get more awareness of whether you're still focusing on that anchor, or whether your mind is drifting off. So you're not failing in meditation by your mind wandering off. In fact, you're improving your ability to be able to focus for longer periods by noticing that your mind has drifted off and bringing it back, and you change the circuitry in your brain so that when you're on the golf course and you're in sort of more, let's say, heated situations, you know, where it's harder to think, you know, having that awareness of what you're choosing to focus on, that's mindfulness, being aware of how you feel, what you're, you know, what thoughts you're choosing to focus on, because it's okay to have negative thoughts. You know, Rory McIlroy was talking fairly recently about, you know, his awareness of negative thinking and it being okay to have negative thoughts, because we all have them, but it's whether you choose to fixate on those negative thoughts and let those thoughts become emotions and feelings and change your mood and lower your confidence. And if you've got mindfulness, you've got more time to be able to, you know, have that pause and choose whether you do pay attention to those things and notice how you're behaving. So, and that's a practice, that's a skill that you get better at over time. But, you know, people who generally become successful in anything have greater self-control and more awareness of their thinking.
No, mindfulness, self-control, mindfulness. So instead of reacting immediately to the situation, see what's going on with yourself. Give yourself a couple of minutes to think about it. I like what you said about meditation, because a lot of people think they've failed at it because their mind drifts and they can't stay focused. If your mind drifts, that's normal. You haven't failed. Just bring it back. Is that what you're saying?
Right. Yeah, exactly. And I mean, I think there's other tips that you can, or techniques, to improve focus. I think all of us are very distracted by our phones right now. I mean, I see players practicing and they're looking at their phones all the time, and you know, it's not really mindful practice. You're not really in the task for as long as you should be without getting distracted. So that's one of those things that I think has changed, you know, over the last 10, 20 years. I mean, 20 years ago, we didn't really have cell phones. And so that, I think, is a big challenge, and it's lowering attention spans. So, you know, when I'm not on my client calls and I'm, you know, focusing on doing a piece of content or a new book that I'm working on, I'll put my phone in the car. So I resist that. I don't have that temptation to check my phone, which so many of us do. We're dipping in and out of the present moment. So that would be another good tip.
Yes. So with meditation and mindfulness, you're increasing your self-awareness, greater impulse control, stress management, increasing your focus. All of this is available on the audio and ebook, 7-module mental game training program, and it's at golfstateofmind.com. And we're talking with founder David McKenzie about that. So number three, hey, everybody, guess what it is? Sleep. Of course it's sleep. Right now, a lot of people are getting more sleep than they probably want, because a lot of us are stay at home. A lot of us have been furloughed. A lot of us are not employed right now. And it's really, really difficult for over 30% of Hawaii's working population. We must have the largest unemployment numbers right now of any state in the country, since we are absolutely tied to the visitor industry for our income. 1 hour less than what you need will lead to weight gain, emotional instability, fatigue, and underperformance. How about too much sleep?
I think I don't think too much sleep is as bad as too little sleep, but still, it's not ideal. I think that, you know, the experts say 7-8 hours. That number still holds. You know, from all the research that's been done on sleep, you know, it's. You know, it's so important in, you know, just how you deal with stress as well, how sharp your mind is, your mood, your productivity, your health, your immune system. So that one, you know, all these, you know, for anyone that wants to get the most out of themselves, you know, I mean, as I said before, golf is, you know, it's just like life. I mean, you want to get the best out of yourself on the golf course. You know, you have to develop the same skills as you do to be successful in anything. And so, you know, the top players, the tour players, they're all looking for that 1%, you know, here and there. And sleep, you know, is one of those things that's really important. But having a structure to your day is also really important in these times. I mean, I'm speaking to a lot of players, you know, now, and some of them are my clients, some of them aren't. And, you know, a lot of players are kind of struggling with not having that structure. And so that's another skill that we can really work on in this time, is, you know, self-management and time management, managing yourself and setting daily goals, have intentions and accountability. So at the end of the day, it's like, you know, I made the most of that day. You know, you're not going to get that day back. You're not going to get that time back, whether we're on lockdown or not. So, you know, we may as well give it everything we've got and feel good about ourselves. So, you know, getting up at the same time each day, I think, is really important.
Like your old schedule. If you got up every morning at 5, you should continue to get up and do your, just go through a schedule that might include getting projects done. You make a list of things that you hadn't gotten done over these years and start getting to it. You know, for a lot of women, you hear them saying, I'm sure there's a lot of guys too. I tend to think of women because I am one. We're out there cleaning. Of course, I'm still working. So I, you know, there's part of me that's saying, gosh, I wish I could be cleaning. But everything's getting like this spring cleaning that's going on. So if you can make a list and then not succumb to what a lot of people are also talking about, is how hard it is to get going when you're in the home. how hard it is to, you know, get up and because you don't get dressed, get out the door, in the car, into the traffic, and all that adrenaline that you know, that kind of fuels the first, you know, 30 minutes. Okay, and now I'm into it. Now it's like, okay, I'm at home, and I don't know how to fire myself up. Any suggestions?
I mean, there's a good book called Make Your Bed. I mean, I heard about this saying before I read the book, but I think it was a former Marine who wrote the book, and it's just about the importance of doing these little things that add up into big things, like making your bed first thing in the morning. You know, you've accomplished something as soon as you wake up, and so it represents far more than just making your bed. And I've been having, you know, I have my players write in their sort of performance journal, which they share with me, and they write in their goals for each day and whether they did them or not at the end of the day. And one of those things is make your bed. And I've had comments from, you know, the parents of junior players, you know, who think that's so great, that their kids are making their bed in the morning. But, yeah, so, you know, things like that, good start to the day. Yeah, I wouldn't, you know, we all sort of, you know, people who work in offices fantasize about, you know, being able to stay in their pajamas all day and work from home.
Yes.
But, you know, staying in your pajamas is not a good idea. I mean, you know, you're in your clothes that you go to bed in, and that's like, you know, that's your relaxation time. That's just switching off from work time. So having your pajamas on is not going to create a good, you know, mindset for punching out work and being productive.
Yeah. And then exercise is also on your list. And I want to get to gratitude too, but I think exercise is really important when you're stuck in the house.
Yeah, it is. I mean, that's a great stress reliever. And, you know, it's great. I mean, everyone's getting really creative, you know, especially the golf coaches that I'm following on Instagram. Everyone's kind of challenging each other to do certain things. And there's a lot of these at-home workout challenges where you do, you know, two sets of 20 push-ups, two sets of 20 squats. And, you know, so people are kind of really encouraging each other and kind of coming together, which is also another great thing about this time. But, yeah, getting out, if you are able to get out in nature. I know there's different people are locked down to certain degrees, but you know, if you can get out to nature, that is, whether you're on lockdown or not, that's a great stress reliever, because, you know, when we get out into nature, it's proven that you know, we lower stress when we're out in big open spaces. But obviously, if you can't, you can still, you know, work up a sweat by doing some of these at home workouts. But yeah, setting yourself that goal of exercising every day, I think, would be a really good accomplishment. Make you feel good at the end of the day.
Yes, and gratitude. Make you feel good, gratitude. I like what you said. You tell yourself what you're grateful for before dinner?
Yeah, we do. We have this little family you know, ritual when we sit around at the table. We talk about, you know, what we've learned throughout the day and what we're grateful for. You know, because, you know, no matter how bad things get, you know, there are always going to be things that you can feel grateful for. You know, whether it's just, you know, taking a look, getting outside, looking at the trees, the sky, the nature, you know, your friends, your family. There are plenty of things to feel good about. And, you know, that's another one that's scientifically proven, that when you focus on gratitude, that changes the chemical, you know, the feel-good chemicals in your body, and you immediately feel better. So that's one of the techniques that I, you know, have my players use when they're in times of stress. And, you know, you do sometimes notice that players will have like a little picture of their family, like on their golf bag. And that's one of those things, you know, no matter how bad it gets, you know, there's always things that you can be grateful for. And family is obviously one of those things. So, again, you know, it's perspective. We can choose to look at this as being, you know, the horrible situation that it is. And, you know, it could get worse and focus on those things. Or we could just try to focus on, as I said, those opportunities there and, you know, the things that we do have and that we can be grateful for.
I love it. And of course, eat and drink well. Drink lots of fluids. Make sure that you keep to your regular meal planning. Whatever it is, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. If it's a small breakfast and you have a snack and then you have a lunch and snack and dinner, a lot of people have different eat, but stick to the same eating patterns that you have and try to stay away from the refrigerator. That's a tough one when you're at home.
It is a tough one because, you know, when you're at home, there's that association of, like, you know, you're not at work, you're not in the office, and it's just like a subconscious thing. But it's, you know, you walk into the kitchen and get a snack. You know, there's definitely a relationship between stress and eating and stress and bad diet. And so, you know, have greater awareness of that, that, you know, when you're feeling stressed, you resist that temptation to go and kind of eat the stress away, because that can obviously just lead to more stress with bad eating. So try to you know, discipline yourself, having accountability with family members as well. But yeah, hydration, eating well. I think this is also a really good time for reflection, because, you know, we've had this pause in life. And, you know, in fact, when I've been working with my students, you know, usually we're talking about their rounds, talking about how they practiced that week and talking about how they played or they've been playing. And, you know, there's no tournaments that we're talking about. We're having to just kind of like look a little deeper. And, you know, what are the things that you really need to work on? Look, you know, take that time to look back at the beginning of the season or last season. You know, where are we going here? What are the things that we need to make sure that we're going to change, the behaviors you need to change, the skills that you need to work on, the areas of your game that you can improve? So I think that is another sort of blessing in disguise about this. It's just being able to pause, take a really good look at, you know, ourselves and, you know, as a person, as a player, and use this time to come up with a really good plan to work on those skills and those behaviors that are going to, you know, help us come back stronger. Because I think if you can either maintain or improve during this time as a golfer, you're going to be in an advantage when the season starts up again, because a lot of players are going to go backwards.
A lot of players are going to go backwards. A lot of kids that aren't in school right now, they're, you know, having to, their parents are having to teach them to initiate, you know, just get yourselves going. And that's, it's do your homework, because everything is via computer or picking up the papers from school. And it's a real challenge right now. They have to learn to initiate and work towards a goal. David McKenzie, mental game coach, golfstateofmind.com. I asked him, what could we do, you know, during this time to relax? And these beautiful points that you made for us, I really appreciate it. Your 7 audio and ebook modules for a better mental game, the ultimate mental game training system for golf. How do we get that?
Yeah, so that's on the website. You can go there, and I think it's at the top, you know, under products. This is a really good time. I'm not just saying that because I created the product, but it's a really good time to work on the mental skills and educate yourself. You know, there's a lot of good audios and podcasts that are out there. This is a really good time to kind of get into those and do some reading. You know, I don't believe that this time should pass by where you just, you know, you're doing nothing. So get out there open a book and educate yourself. And I've spent quite a lot of time, and I've been revising that training program over the last, you know, 10 years that I've been working as a mental coach. You know, I'm really quite proud of that product and how effective it is in being able to change mindset and play better golf.
GolfStateOfMind.com. If we wanted to be in touch with you, do you do remote coaching? You must.
I do indeed. Yeah. I guess I'm fortunate in the times we're in right now. Most of my students are remote, so, you know, it's now FaceTime, Skype, WhatsApp, video. So I do that. And, you know, right now I've been having really good conversations with my students, as I said, because we don't have that necessary distraction from talking about, you know, their scores and their performance. It's more you know, being able to look deeper into that person, that player. And really find some good solutions for them. So yes, I do the one-on-one coaching.
Great, and they can do that through Golf State of Mind. Get in touch with you.
Yeah, they can indeed. I offer a free consultation, which is up there on the menu bar. So anyone interested in learning how to improve their mental game for both on the golf course and off the golf course, you can sign up there for a free consult.
Excellent. David McKenzie, mental game coach, golfstateofmind.com. Thanks for being on the show.
My pleasure, Danielle, as always.
Aloha.
Take care.
You too. Stay well. We're going to come back. We have a little bit of something physical. Okay, so we just took care of the mental game. Now we're going to work on your physical. Dr. Jeremy James is founder of Golf Forever, and he's author of Younger Next Year. Really? And the back book that has transformed lives. Well, I can certainly use that. I want to thank Aloha Power Equipment. They've got what you need at the Sand Island and Waipahu stores, the largest selection of Honda power equipment. Aloha Power Equipment is the Honda Superstore.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
In response to the mayor's COVID-19 stay-at-home order that now includes golf courses, Bayview Golf Course is taking this time to make Bayview Golf Course even better. We're aerating the course, cleansing our new Top Tracer double-deck driving range, and getting ready for your return to the beauty and splendor of Bayview Golf Course, located on Kaneohe Bay Drive. You'll come back with Bayview Golf Course in even better condition. Until then, the best of health to you, your family, and friends. Bayview Golf Course, we're all in this together.
We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment.
Power outages can hit without warning. Keep the lights on with a Honda generator from Aloha Power Equipment. You'll never be left in the dark with Honda's lightweight, easy-starting, super quiet generators. Put the power of a Honda generator to work for you.
Our equipment.
It always happens to the other guy. That 100-year flood. Or broken sewer pipe on the floor of his business. When it happens to you, don't panic. Call the pros. Oahu Extraction. Water, mold, mud, or worse. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Call Oahu Extraction at 808-330-6162. Direct insurance billing, licensed and bonded. We'll handle all the restoration for you. Oahu Extraction.
The Golf Club is brought to you by Oahu Extraction. When it floods, water, or worse, sewer pipes break, or mud inundates your home, call Oahu Extraction 24/7. Oahu Extraction, on site in 90 minutes, high-rise shopping center or home. Oahu Extraction. Raynor Doors, the overhead door used to protect the Lamborghini showroom. Provide lasting security and safety for your business, your home. Raynor Doors, increase the value of your home with a major return on your investment. Call Raynor Doors, 676-3667. And now, here's Danielle Tucker.
We are KPUA Hilo, K-O-R-L-Y-N-I, Honolulu, K-O-N-I, Lanai City, K-T-O-H, Kalaheo. You know, Bayview is doing everything they can during this period of shutdown, because we're all shut in, to make everything even better at Bayview. And they've done magnificent work to make Bayview Golf Course. The greens are really fine. The fairways are beautiful. And if you haven't been on the back nine of Bayview, you're really missing out. We've got a $50 gift certificate. We've had the phones on hold, so with things happening, do give us a call, 808-545-1111. We have not gotten our ninth caller yet. The caller, ninth caller, wins $50 gift certificate to Bayview Golf Course. All right, let's bring him in, the man right now who's going to help us get our body back together again. He's Dr. Jeremy James, and he's founder of Golf Forever. Welcome into the clubhouse.
Thank you for having me, Danielle. Happy to be here, and hello to all of your listeners in beautiful Hawaii, one of my favorite places.
Yeah, you were saying that you come here frequently, but it's been a while. Well, you'll have to come back when we reopen.
Yep, I can't wait for that day.
We'd like to say we're closed right now.
yep, I hope so.
I'm pretty flexible, you know, and that's what I've been told, that I'm pretty flexible. But when I was reading Golf Forever on your website, Golf Forever, you talk about mobility and flexibility, and I hadn't thought about there being a difference between being flexible and being mobile. Can you explain the difference between flexibility and mobility?
I sure can. I'm so glad you asked. This is, I think, so important for everyone, but particularly for golfers. So flexibility is a term that means how far you can move a muscle passively. So if you, let's say if you lie on your back and you use a strap to stretch your hamstring, that's flexibility. And mobility is active. Mobility is a term that describes how far you can move a range, you can move a joint through its range of motion yourself, and that requires strength, coordination, neurologic control. So mobility is far more important for golfers and for everyday people because it requires all of those systems to work together. And it's also more difficult to maintain as you age. So you do have to have strength to be mobility, which is kind of counterintuitive to some people. They think you just need to stretch, but that couldn't be further from the truth. You have to have strength and tone and balance of muscle groups around the joint to maintain mobility.
And something else that I picked up, proper strength training routines improve both flexibility and mobility. So you're going to have to help me here with how strength training helps with the mobility. I still haven't gotten it.
Sure. So as I mentioned, mobility is an active thing. And if you don't have the right strength and the balance of strength in the muscle groups that surround a particular joint, then you won't be able to take that joint through its full range of motion. Let me give you an example. So let's say for something like a side-to-side movement, like stepping side-to-side or a lateral lunge, if you don't have the right strength in the muscles, in the gluteal muscles, the muscles in your buttocks that surround the hip joint, your body will not be able to go through that range of motion. It takes strength to support your body's weight as you move the joint through a range of motion. And if you don't have that strength, literally, your brain will prevent you from going into that range of motion because it would be dangerous because you don't have the strength to support the joint and you could injure the joint.
Yes.
That makes sense?
Yes.
Okay, good.
I got it. No, yeah, it's just I want to make sure that everybody gets this because it's really, there's a lot of exercise programs, you know, and I've done one that's called Bar Method, and it's a combination of Pilates and ballet and a lot of stuff, right? And so you really need all of that, flexibility, mobility, and you're right. The brain will say, I'm sorry, I'm not going there because that's you can't do it.
Exactly. And, you know, golf is such a unique sport with a unique and very predictable set of movements. You know, it's an asymmetrical, repetitive movement which demands mobility and flexibility in certain areas. And if you don't have them in those areas, not only will your golf game suffer, but your body will start to break down and you'll get those common injuries that we see even in the pro golfers, which is most often, you know, back injuries, back pain.
Back injuries and back pain. Let's get a little bit of background on Dr. Jeremy James. When did you start your program? How did you get into the body and helping people with it?
Sure. So I actually had pretty debilitating back pain as a young man myself, which is how I got interested in this. And I struggled to get help with that, and it wasn't until I found someone who really looked at the approach of looking at the body and how the body moves and what you're doing with your daily life and how that relates to your back that I got some relief. So that was an eye-opener for me. So when I got into my practice, I ran a clinic in Aspen, Colorado for a decade, and we were known as the clinic of last resort for people with chronic back and neck pain. Our patients typically had tried surgery, physical therapy, chiropractic drugs with no good results. And we would bring them out here. They'd stay with us for a few weeks or months, and we'd teach them how to exercise and teach them how to move in ways that didn't stress the spine. And a big chunk of those people were golfers. And it was, you know, I'd been through it myself. It was very frustrating to me to see these people struggle and try drugs and try surgery and often get addicted to drugs when really what they just needed was to understand what was causing the pain and to change their bodies so that that pain would permanently go away and they could get back to what they want to do. And it's not rocket science. They just need some discipline and the right education and information. And so, you know, after technology became what it is today with streaming video, I realized, you know, I'm an educator at heart, and I'm not physically touching people. This can all be done via interactive videos, so that's why I designed the programs, and now we're helping thousands of people instead of the hundreds that would come see me personally in my clinic at great expense.
How did Justin Leonard get involved?
So Justin Leonard is he lives here in Aspen with me. We met each other a couple of years back, and we have the same philosophy about lifestyle and exercise and fitness and wellness. I don't know if you know, but Justin is a very fit guy. He's a very healthy guy. He's vegetarian. He eats well. He takes care of his body. So we're always out doing the same thing, skiing and biking. And, you know, we started to talk about this, you know, this epidemic of back pain in golfers, and we just clicked. And so he's taught me the finer points of the game, and I've, of course, taught him the biomechanics of how people get hurt. And funny enough, I mean, to the layperson, the same exercises in general that you do to relieve pain do improve your golf game, because now you're using the right muscles, you've got strength in the right places, and you've got the mobility you need to have a good swing.
Now, okay, there are several different levels of back pain. There is the level of postural back pain where you've been sitting scrunched over, and there's the imbalance between your flexors and your, you know, all these different things in the hips, which I'm not even going to try to talk about because I know nothing about saying that properly. Then there is the herniated or bulging discs first, and then the herniated discs. Some need some surgery, but then you need to go into physical therapy to take care of that. Right, and then you can come back, and you have to exercise your posture correctly. Then there are the people who, as they age, may be getting something like stenosis, where there are, you know, more physical issues than maybe surgery can take care of. Can you help all of these people?
So yeah, let me give you a little background on that, because with the exception of one thing you mentioned, all of that stuff is relatively the same. So, and even with the one, and that one is a disc herniation. So let's start there. If someone has a herniated disc, that means the soft disc that you have between your vertebrae has ruptured, and inside those discs are liquid, and that liquid has spilled out. And if you're having pain or numbness or loss of function down into the leg or into the arm, that liquid has now disturbed the nerve root that does those functions. If you're at that point, yes, typically you do need surgery. But the reason that you got there is because of the ways that you have moved, the ways that you have taken care of your body, and the lack of or the wrong way of exercising. So in a healthy person that has the right support structure around their spine, and by that I mean the core muscles, and uses them, a disc won't typically herniate. The disc herniates from hundreds of thousands of cycles of loading, bending, and twisting, and finally, it ruptures. So even if you have a disc herniation and you get it surgically repaired, if you don't change the habits and rebuild your body that got you there in the first place, very likely that in another 5-10 years, you're going to have another herniated disc, or you're going to have another problem. Mm-hmm. Now, stenosis with older people, and you're very educated on the subject, I commend you, stenosis is a condition that mostly affects people over 50, and that's a narrowing of the canal where the nerve roots exit. And the difference in a degree of a millimeter is the difference between debilitating pain and no pain at all. So again, even if you have severe stenosis, often by building the support structure of the core and the gluteal muscles and learning how to bend and twist without provoking those areas that are stenotic, you can be relatively symptom-free and highly functional.
Wow, that is cool. Now, when you last resort doctor, hey, I had to ask.
No, it is. You'd be surprised. And to be clear, yes, surgery is required in some cases. But statistically, and if you look up the stats, these are out there and you can find them, it's about 5% of people with back pain need surgery. The other 95% need behavioral change. And that's what I taught. That's what I, you know, wrote my book about, and that's what the Golf Forever program does.
And Dr. Jeremy James is founder of Golf Forever, and he's author of Younger Next Year and the Back Book that's transformed lives. So now that we've established that everybody who's listening right now and who's suffering from back pain can do a little something about it just by getting off the couch and working their body, but they're going to need some help figuring out how to do that, right? And that's where you come in.
That's correct. And you know, I'd like to say, in addition, if you're carrying a little extra abdominal weight, you know, that we all tend to do, sometimes just losing 5 to 10 pounds in the abdomen will make the back pain go away.
Wow.
So we just want to throw that out there. But yeah, for the cases that have been around for a while and or getting worse, yeah, you need some guidance on how to do movements correctly. Form is so important with exercises, and one thing I got asked most often in my practice, when I would get someone feeling better, they'd say, great, I'm better now. Okay, when I get back home, who do I train with? Or who do I go see? And that was a major problem for me, because there's such a wide variation in trainers and their knowledge and education. So to a layman, the same exercise, can look like someone is doing it the right way, while the other person looks like they're doing it the same way, but little details matter so much in the way that you're recruiting muscles and the way that you're holding your posture in your body and not stressing your spine. So yeah, to your point, you do need some guidance and you need to pay attention to the details. They're crucial for recovery and for performance. This stuff really does increase club head speed and increase accuracy and all that stuff as well. So details really do matter.
In your golfforever.com, you, by the way, go there, for golfforever.com, if you're following along and using your computer to go where we're going, you talk about there being no reason to wait. Start increasing your distance today, get stronger, and end pain. So this is for golfers, increasing your distance, your club head speed. This is for people who need to get stronger, and this is for people who want to get rid of that back pain and strengthen the core and hold that precious spine up in place and be healthy. So you have a streaming video library, on-demand classes. Are those on-demand classes, are you leading them?
Yeah, me and my team. I should have mentioned my partner, Bill Fabricini, who's a very well-known physical therapist and sports performance coach who's trained many professional Olympic athletes. He, I, and some of our team lead those classes, and we're also available for consultations for the people who, you know, may be really struggling and need some extra help. So, yeah, and then we do a retreat once a year here in Colorado, Bill, I, and Justin Leonard, for people that are interested, that are members of the Golf Forever program.
Oh, so what is that? Tell us. Yeah.
The retreat?
The Golf Forever program.
Oh, yeah. So the program, basically, when you sign up, and what really makes us unique is you take an assessment, and the content and the direction that you're given is based upon your specific body, any symptoms you may have, and your needs and desires and fitness level. So you take that assessment online or through the app, and then you're given a program that you do. And if you're a person that likes to be told exactly what to do, we can do that for you, and we offer you that option. If you're more of a person who doesn't have any pain and you're saying, look, I just want to come in, I want to do a strength workout today, tomorrow I want to work on my flexibility, we have a kind of an a la carte menu for that as well. So these videos are all streaming. We have very detailed videos for each exercise, or we have 15 to 30 minute workouts where you just press play and follow along. And luckily, we didn't know, you know, obviously what was going to be happening today, but we made most of these workouts where you need very little or no equipment. So there's a lot of stuff you can just do with body weight. And then if you do need equipment, it's usually just exercise tubing bands.
Wow, cool. How do I now, is it expensive?
I for what it is, no, I think it's actually an incredible bargain. So it's $9.99 a month or $99 a year. If you do the monthly option, you can cancel at any time. The yearly option, you pay to the $99 and you get access for 12 months. Each of those comes with a free 7-day trial, so you can go in, check it out. You have full access to the entire program for 7 days before you're asked if you want to pay or not.
Hey, that's cool. And so before I pay, do I get the self-assessment based on...
Oh, yeah.
So then you say, okay, with this self-assessment, you should probably be using these particular videos, and these on-demand classes will serve you, and that sort of thing?
That is exactly right. Yep, the self-assessment would be the first thing that you do once you sign up and get access to the program.
That's great.
You have to take the self-assessment. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, that's great. And then Justin Leonard's course management series is also part of Golf Forever program.
That's right, and it's so cool, and I'm glad you brought that up. We're really proud of that. Justin, we have a three different series on there by Justin, and you're basically getting the chance to get inside of a major champion and walk through each hole of the course. And he talks about strategy. This isn't about how to fix your swing, and we don't get into that. We leave that to the swing professionals. This is how to read the course, strategize about your game, how to learn to shave strokes off, and just how to be a better, a highly cerebral thinking player. And I think some of the stuff that he does in there is just fantastic. I'm glad you brought that up.
Oh, no. I mean, it's perfect for all of us golfers who walk around and stare at something and go, well, I really don't know what I'm supposed to do right now. To have somebody, talk you through it and say, this is what I'm thinking, you know, and then I imagine we'd all want to adjust our expectations knowing that that's Justin Leonard telling us what he's thinking. But that's great that he shared all of that. It's something that, you know, as a radio professional and having a show about golf, it's really hard to get somebody like Justin Leonard to talk about how do you manage the course. I mean, what do you, you know, how do you assess things? And then to have this is a huge benefit. It's Golf Forever, and it's golfforever.com. Really, really easy. It's less than $10. How much is it a month?
Yeah, $9.99.
There you go. It's you know what it is, and you can just go there and get assessed and then take advantage of all of the programs, streaming video library, on-demand classes, Justin Leonard's course management series. You get weekly email updates. They're at your service, and end that back pain and neck pain with the complete Back Forever program, access to that as well. And workouts and tutorials, just a whole lot of great stuff from Dr. Jeremy James, founder of Golf Forever and author of Younger Next Year. Love the title. Younger Next Year and the Back Book that's transformed lives. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thanks for having me. I really enjoyed it.
I'm glad. Awesome. We're going to thank the people who make this show possible. Oahu Extraction, when it floods, water or worse, you want to call Oahu Extraction. Or maybe the water didn't flood in at all. It just trickled in and stayed and causing mold. And it's really uncomfortable because you feel like there's something there, but you can't see it. Well, see, they can. They can do it because they have the hydrometer that can literally, it sees things through its heat sensor. Oahu Extraction is CV-19 ready, coronavirus ready, okay? Ready to handle your burst water pipes or whatever's happening in your house. 24/7, call Oahu Extraction at 330-6212. Aloha Power Equipment at Sand Island and Waipahu stores, the largest selection of Honda Power Equipment. Honda Power Equipment, yes, indeed. Aloha Power Equipment is the Honda Superstore, and they'll put power at your fingertips. Bayview Golf Course, beautiful Kaneohe, Hawaii's best value in golf. The double-deck driving range, top tracer at each station. They are not open right now. They're just getting ready for when they can. They're taking this time to really work on stuff that, you know, they're probably not going to want us to walk on the golf course when they get all finished because it's going to be in such great shape. So that's what's happening at Bayview right now. And, you know, they're doing deep cleaning and all the stuff that they want to get done. I want to congratulate Elizabeth Santiago of Kaimuki. You are our winner of the Bayview Golf Course $50 gift certificate. And you and your friends, when you go out, you're going to have a whole lot of fun. And by the way, over at Aloha Power Equipment, the Honda EU 2200 generator is only $9.99. That's only $9.99 right now. So you want to go to the Sand Island or the Waipahu stores and take advantage. If you didn't catch the whole show, maybe you tuned in, we're always streaming live. So you don't have to listen on, you know, excuse me, but you don't have to listen at a certain time of day. You can always go to our podcasts. So we're streaming live from the radio stations. We're on the radio and it's podcast. And all you do is go to radiogolfclub.com, click on the listen button, and it'll show you that. So thank you for your mama, and may you hit the sweet spot every time. I'm Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club radio show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2020.